The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America, Bunker High, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway, headed for Florida later today. Wish I was going to Miami so that I could witness the demonstrations that will support freedom in Cuba. But I'm actually going to Orlando, and I'll be broadcasting tomorrow from Orlando with Generalissimo. I want everyone to focus on the major story of the day, which is Cuba, Cuba, Cuba. Now, I'll cover the rest of the news here shortly, but there really is one story. And I hope President Biden goes to Miami today and members of his administration go to Miami, and CENTCOM hosts its Southern Command colleagues in Tampa, and that throughout Florida and wherever Cuban Americans are, they gather and express support for Americans, support for the demonstrations in Cuba. This could be the moment. Totalitarian regimes are very fragile. Since 1959, the Castro regime, and even after his death, that of Raul Castro, and now the police state down there, have survived only because of terror and brutality and communist oppression. It is one of the three last real communist regimes in the world. Colombia does. I mean, Venezuela does not count. It's a gangster regime. Maduro's just a gangster. But Cuba's a communist regime. North Korea's a communist regime. China's a communist regime. And if Cuba falls, Venezuela will fall to freedom. And the people of Cuba have had it. There is no health care. There is no medicine. There is no attempt to stop the virus. There is nothing except guns. And the number and millions of courageous Cubans who are marching. President Biden, it's your tear down this wall moment. You go down there, encourage the Cuban government to step back and provide them with a villa on the beach somewhere if they want to leave. Members of the administration go down and reiterate the message, no violence against the Cuban people. Take to Twitter, where is the left? Everyone should be covering this. This has not happened since the 90s, where the Cuban people have rallied and just said, enough, mano mas, no mas. And that's the story of the day. What do you think? 1-800-520-1234. Open up the lines. What should Joe Biden do right now? What Americans ought to do? Don't go being a revolutionary terrorist. Get the media down there. Media will protect these people as much as is possible against a police state. Put them on the Valladares on the air. Go find other Cuban dissidents. Focus on Cuba and pray for the freedom of Cuba. The Catholic country, it ought to be a completely free country. There's no reason it can't be. The engine of the Caribbean, the engine of Central America, the engine of progress everywhere. The Cuban people are extraordinarily capable and competent. I'm sure you know that. I'm sure you know Cuban Americans. And they've been waiting, waiting, waiting for America. Now, they had a friend in Trump. They had an enemy in Obama. Obama went to a baseball game with Fidel. You don't forget that. Left-wing ideology put in the freezer in the 60s is still in there. But Joe Biden doesn't have to do that. Joe Biden's been a friend of the Cuban people in the past. Let him shake that off. Ron Klain, you don't have to put up with the silliness of the Obama years. Jake Sullivan, you know better. This would be a defining moment, a legacy deal for Joe Biden. Get down there and support them. Don't screw around. Don't mess around. Don't politicize it. Just go. Just go to Miami and stand with Rubio and Rick Scott and absolutely, positively support them. The other headlines, I'll come to the calls. What do you think we ought to do? Okay, if you were rooting for the Three Lions in England yesterday, your heart is broken. It's a little bit like the Browns getting to the Super Bowl and not winning. They're very proud of the English team, but Italy played a heck of a game, and they are the European champions in the 2-1 penalty shot game. The second guessing has begun in Great Britain, but that's just sports writers being sports writers. The hats off to both clubs. More on the Cuban story in a second. The spread of the Delta variant cast a shadow over Europe's economic rebound, according to the Financial Times this morning and the Wall Street Journal. Young Americans aren't getting vaccinated. It's extremely selfish, young Americans. You won't even know you've got it. You'll give it to Granny if Granny didn't get vaccinated. We are only half vaccinated. We need the 20 to 33-year-old demographic to get there. Haiti remains a mess as a half dozen rivals are clawing for power. The United States has said it will not send troops. That's smart. I do not believe there's any way we can bring order to Haiti that Haiti can't bring order. Hunter Biden is getting the scrutiny he ought to be getting. This is just simple corruption. I don't care if he makes $5,000 a painting, much less $500,000 a painting. It's absurd. It's an absurd idea that Hunter Biden, it's just a complete fake way of funneling money to Hunter Biden. And it wouldn't fly for the Trumps. It wouldn't fly for the Obama girls. It wouldn't fly for the W girls. There is no way Hunter Biden is worth that kind of money. Excellent story yesterday in the Wall Street Journal about Egypt and Ethiopia. I hold it up as an example of real journalism. We are surprised by what's happening in Cuba because there's been no real journalism about Cuba. Even though there are Americans there every day and journalists could write about, there's just no real journalism on COVID in Cuba. And there's no real journalism on the police state after the Castro. There's just no real journalism. This story by Amir El-Fekki and Andrew James is real journalism. Real, real journalism. Ethiopia and Egypt clash over Nile River Dam as water scarcity looms worldwide. I didn't know anything about this. Deep dive by the reporter and the videographer and the photographer and the online team. I tweeted out yesterday. That's what you want to be smart about. You want to be that smart about that. Alan in Florida. Which part of Florida are you in, Alan?
I live in St. Pete, Florida.
Hey, good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
What do you think? I'm great.
Well, my mother was pregnant with me on the boat in 1959 when Castro took over. And we left with what we could. My family did. Others were left in Cuba to rot in prison and die. And I think Biden's approach will be the same as Obama. He'll cozy up to the communist regime, send them money in hopes that they're going to pass it on to the citizens of Cuba, when in fact they'll just put in foreign bank accounts and get fat and rich on it and wait for the ultimate fall. It's really a sad sight. It's a bad administration here in the United States to deal with the problem because they'll go and try to find the root cause like they're doing down in the border crisis. And basically they don't have any idea what they're doing.
But what should he do? What would you love him to do, Alan?
I think there should be a group of people, armed forces that go in there, take the current regime, displace them, and let the people have an open election. But the problem with Obama, rather than giving them money, he should have said, we'll support the Cuban government. But
yeah, I don't think we're going to do an invasion. We're not going to do an invasion. Short of an invasion, what do you want? Because I think Biden is not Obama. Biden is there's going to be some memory muscle here about supporting Cuban independence. He hadn't been in office since the Cuban Revolution, but he'd been there since 72. So he has spent four times as much time in office during the Castro regime than he did out of office. And he knows the Castro regime. What would you like him to do?
I would like him to somehow displace the regime.
Yeah, I think you ought to go to Miami, but Alan, thank you. Sergio in Miami, get a minute. What do you want Joe Biden to do?
Hey, I just want Joe Biden not to give the communist regime a way out. The last time I saw this happen was back in 1994, and people went to the streets, and Castro said if anybody wanted to leave, they could leave. People stopped protesting, got on the raft, and went to Guantanamo. Okay?
Yep.
If this time it doesn't give him a way out, it could do something. I don't know if it can or not, but it has a good possibility.
I think Biden ought to go to Miami myself. I've just tweeted that out at Q Hewitt on Twitter. I'd love to see other people. President Biden, go to Miami. President Biden, go to Miami. Make your speech like Reagan in Berlin. Open up these waters, Cuban government. I don't even know who you call on. I don't know who the strongman is. Raul quit. 1-800-520-1234. What ought Biden to do? Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. To Hewitt, joined by Selena Zito. Time for the Yinzer Report. Good morning, Selena. How are you?
Good morning, you. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Are there many Cuban Americans in Pittsburgh?
No, there nope. There is not.
There's not many in Ohio either. They tend not to have come that far north, and I don't blame them. They're not used to it. Most of our people come from Scotland and Ireland and Germany, right? They're used to this, but I am covering the Cuban uprising this morning and wondering, what do you think President Biden ought to do?
Well, you know, I mean, these kinds of situations certainly always present opportunity. But usually these opportunities are mostly handled behind the scenes, right? We both know that. But I think there's a moment right now where he could come out and say something that is, you know, that shows that the reason that people come to this country is because of freedom. And what the Cubans are protesting against is that they don't have the freedom that we have here. And, you know, and the ability. I mean, I think this is all over. Is it not over? Not health care. Is it over? No, it's over education and health care, correct?
Oh, they also don't need food. They are actually, right. I saw the thread of one woman saying, I can't feed my family. My family is starving. So it's food shortages, rampant COVID. They're a legendary, right? The left wing always used to say they got the free health care. It's just not working. They haven't got the vaccine. They can't. They don't have the oxygen. They don't have a free press, so we don't know what the coverage is like. They can't appeal for aid. It's a hellhole. And the secret police, so they got a new general secretary who's 60 years old. I mean, the Castro brothers have aged out. But there's a police state, right? And it's wealthy, and they don't want to give up power. So they're going to shoot people unless we have Biden in Florida telling them don't shoot people.
Yeah. I mean, there's the opportunity right there. You know, the opportunity right there is not only just for the Cuban, the people in Cuba who are suffering, but also the people in our country, you know, to show them, look, we spend all this time talking about how bad it is here. There are far worse places that are right in our backyard. And, you know, we should be able to help these people and give.
That was a theme yesterday online, which is a lot of the protesters carried American flags. But I don't want to make it about America. A lot of our right wing buddies wanted to make it about America, how great we are. See the Cuban people. No, let's make it about the Cuban people and their Cuban expats all over this country. And I know many of them who have been waiting for a replay of 1994. So it's been, you know, 25 years since they had a chance like this. It was 25 years after the first revolution. It doesn't happen often. And when it happened to Obama with the Green Movement in the first year of his presidency, he froze. And the mullahs butchered the people in Tehran. Biden can't freeze. Ron Klain can't freeze. Yeah. Kamala Harris can't freeze. Tony Blinken can't freeze. They got to get out there and talk about not committing violence on the Cuban people, I think.
No, I think that you're absolutely right. You know, just think about any great migration to this country. I think about my grandparents coming here from Italy, and they would talk about when they left there that they were starving, that there wasn't opportunity, that there was a brutish police state, and it was about coming to a place where there was, you know, freedom. And so I think that letting this happen on our watch in the way that it happened in Iran is not a good look for the American government.
Now, the Trump administration tried hard in Venezuela. I don't think they tried hard enough. I think they blinked at a crucial moment, but they tried.
Yep.
And at this moment, if the people win in Cuba and the police state is overthrown, Venezuela won't be far behind it. And the hemisphere will go back to as it was after the fall of the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, a booming place. I hope so. I loved your column in The Examiner, Selena, about journalists who parachute in. My only comment is I want journalists to parachute into Cuba right now. It might be the only way to protect these people from getting gunned down in the street.
Yeah, absolutely. I drove last week to West Lafayette, Indiana, to interview Purdue President Mitch Daniels, the former governor of Indiana. And it took 9 hours because I went the back roads. And it's always such a great reminder that to really understand a place that you're going to cover, you have to find a way to immerse yourself in understanding them. In particular, in our own country, right? You can't do that with Cuba. But
not now. But although I'll tell you, I'd go to Cuba the first year that it's free just to help them. I would. But you're right about you got to drive and you got to stay local and go local and talk local. Selena Zito is actually the herald of that approach. Selena, thank you. I just tweeted out her new column from the Washington Examiner. Go and read it, America. Look forward to reading about Mitch Daniels, always one of America's smartest guys. Stay tuned. Hour two of the Hugh Hewitt Show straight ahead. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway, joined by the founder of PunchbowlNews.com, Jake Sherman. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, Hugh, how are you?
I am great. Now, Jake, you were 4 or 5 when the Berlin Wall came down, and so I don't expect you to remember any of this, but it was thrilling. It was absolutely unexpected, came out of nowhere. The revolution swept Romania. Eventually, the Soviet Union fell apart. Cuba could be on the brink. You know, it starts and it goes so suddenly. I expect Punchbowl News will be asking everyone today. But what do you hear so far? Is Team Biden got a plan yet?
Well, I think the State Department has said something. But I have to imagine that this will be, especially among a certain set of lawmakers who are deeply and heavily involved in foreign policy, this will be the topic of conversation this week. You already saw Marco Rubio talk about it yesterday, released a statement. I have to imagine Bob Menendez, who's also obviously the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee, will be all over this week. As it goes for the administration, I don't think we've heard a ton out of them so far besides the State Department. But Joe Biden's going to be in public today. Obviously, he has some public engagements today. I have to imagine he's going to be asked about it, and I have to imagine he's going to say something on it.
Now, Jake, going back to something you will remember, in 2009, a green movement broke out in Iran as a new President Obama tried to feel his way. Joe Biden's not a newbie. He knows the Cuban issue backwards and forwards. He had to campaign in Florida. He tried to get the Cuban vote. He knows that the Castro brothers are out, even Raul. They got a new head of state, head of a party, a new top dog, a new head of the police state. He can go to Miami if he wants and have a Ronald Reagan moment, or he can do an Obama, do the minimum. And that was yesterday. I don't blame anyone for yesterday. Everyone was watching the World Cup. Everyone's caught unawares. It's summer in July, there's a gazillion degrees in D.C., but they've had overnight now, and Ron Klain and Kamala Harris and Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan, they've had a day. They have a path to take today. Where will you see a signal, whether they're doing Obama in 2009 or Reagan in 1987?
Well, I think obviously what he says at the front end here is going to be incredibly important, but I'm not actually, to be honest with you, I'm not sure where the, so I think we're talking about degrees of support, right? Because I don't think that he's not, I don't think that, that speaking, that the only thing he could do that is not forceful is come out and say nothing, right? I mean, that would be not forceful. That would be what a lot of people would consider a political misstep. Obviously, freedom for the Cuban people has been American foreign policy doctrine, I think, for as long as I can, as long as I've been alive. So I think that I think that's what the, I don't think there's going to be much space here. I have to imagine he's going to say something and say something forcefully in the next, you'd have to guess 12 hours. There isn't really anywhere else for him to go. I don't know.
If you go back and look at President Obama's statements, they were of the State Department variety, urging peaceful protest, nothing like Reagan in 87 in front of the Brandenburg Gate. What President Biden could do is drop everything, fly to Miami, go to the heart of Cuban America, and they will turn out and say, open up Cuba, no boat lift, no 1994 repeat, which is what Fidel did in 1994, the last time there were protests, and say, no violence. We will be there with money, aid, food. We will run a Marshall Plan for Cuba. Open up. We'll also get all the police out. We'll give you a refuge and give the leaders, also announce accountability measures. There's a lot, Jake, that if you have the Cold War playbook embedded in your mind, and I do from the White House and Justice Department, there's a lot we can do short of armed intervention, and we don't want that. There's just a lot we can do. Do you think Joe Biden will do it?
Yeah. So, and by the way, can I make a political point here, Hugh? Obviously, the Cuban population in Miami has been a stalwart base of support for the Republican Party. So from a political point of view, there's upside for Joe Biden here as well. And I obviously, this is not all about politics, but everything's about politics to some degree, and everything has a political element to some degree. So he could win here politically by embracing this movement and embracing kind of freedom for the Cuban people and liberty for the Cuban people and et cetera. So, you know, I don't know if he'll fly to Miami. To be clear, he doesn't really have an incredibly busy schedule this week, so it would not be crazy for him to fly to Miami. But I don't have any reporting to suggest that he will or won't at this point.
No, I don't think I wouldn't expect you to. There will be interesting stories to be written about AOC and the squad. There will be interesting stories to be written about Chuck Schumer because he has a big Cuban vote. But it's not just Cuba. It's Venezuela. By the way, it's Iran. It's any repressed nation in the world. Right now, we see America pulling out of Afghanistan and the Taliban, you know, hoping that the Afghan government holds off the Taliban in some kind of stasis. But every oppressed expat group in the United States turns and watches the response of an administration to its first freedom struggle. The Trump administration supported the Venezuelan people. They probably should have intervened. They pulled up short and they didn't. But Venezuela crushed the attempted coup. This isn't a coup. This is a big deal. This is 24 cities. We have not seen this in Cuba forever. So how will you cover it? This is also something I don't see blue check Twitter saying much. I'd flood the zone with reporters. I'd find AOC. I'd find everyone in the member of the squad. And Rubio, you're right. Rubio and Scott and Cotton and Pompeo are all up there urging support and warnings to the police state. How will you cover it today?
Well, so the Senate comes in today, comes in this afternoon, and I have to imagine this is going to be one of the top things that every reporter is going to be asking about, especially if people like Bob Menendez, who is, by the way, the son of Cuban immigrants and is the most powerful and the most important foreign policy voice in the Democratic Party, probably would be my guess. So I think we'll be asking a lot of those people that, and I have to imagine that. So the House is not in session this week. The House is home this week. So it's going to be a little bit more difficult for us to grab them. But we're going to be all over this when it comes to the Senate. And the Senate, by the way, is, I'm not saying anything you don't know, but I'll say it anyway, the more important body when it comes to foreign policy and when it comes to foreign policy views and foreign policy information, because they have foreign policy in their portfolio and they're treated like prime ministers when they go abroad.
Yeah, the story response in my estimate is, number one, what does Team Biden do? And there are five or six nodes where they might respond. Team two is, what does AOC say? That is the most interesting thing, because this collides with her vision of a socialist world. Cuba's always been the socialist experiment that didn't work, but they pretend doesn't exist. this is where AOC and the squad ought to be held to account, and harder to find them when they're not in session, but it's not like they're unlisted, right?
No. I have to anticipate it. By the way, AOC uses Twitter a good deal to express her foreign policy views and express other views. So I have to imagine that we'll be able to get views in that respect from her. And I'm sure she'll be out in public in New York, obviously, in the middle of a July work week. So, yes, I have to imagine that we're going to be talking to her as well.
All right. Hey, Jake, good luck today. I think it's going to be a very interesting day. I'm going to Florida myself, but not to Miami. I'm going to Orlando today, and I'll be broadcasting from there tomorrow. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Jake Sherman, follow him on Twitter. Go to punchbowlnews.com and subscribe. Here's what I'd like you to do. 1-800-520-1234. 1-800-520-1234. What do you want to see Biden do, Kamala Harris do, Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, Ron Klain, who's on Twitter, the Chief of Staff? What do you want to see AOC and Pelosi be asked and say? What do you want the Republicans, being led by Marco Rubio here? I've seen Cotton Pompeo, and I haven't seen anything from former President Trump. He was at CPAC, but this was happening. He was at CPAC on Saturday, I think. This happened, began happening yesterday, noon in the afternoon, so the Sunday shows wouldn't have caught it. I don't blame anyone for not having a position, but it began to happen yesterday afternoon when the world was watching either Black Widow or Italy and England. And then in the Italy and England Twitter feed, there began to be reports and hashtag Cuba Libre, hashtag Cuba SOS, hashtag SOS Cuba. Go and see, but by all means, call me with what you want done. 1-800-520-1234. Don't forget, we've got a terrific promotion running at the Salem station. If you're listening to a Salem radio station, head over to the home station. Find the terrific talkers opportunity. Get in there. Register, join. You can register every day for an opportunity to come have a meal. We'll fly you to the city of any host you want to meet. Go see Magnificent Mike in his palatial studios, wherever he is. He's got palaces everywhere. Go see Seb Gorka. Go see Charlie Kirk. Go see Dennis Prager if you can stand it. Honestly, that means, you know, a six-hour lunch. But go see them wherever you can. Pick me, too. Terrific Talkers Tour. Go to this station's homepage. I'm not sending you to HughHewitt.com, and call me at 1-800-520-1234. What ought we to do about Cuba today on the Hugh Hewitt Show? Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin and Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that 3-week starter pack, $19.95. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Jonah Goldberg was on earlier talking about Cuba. Now I am joined by Hotline Josh, Josh Kroshauer from the National Journal. Good morning, Josh. I want to talk to you about Cuba. Do you see any reactions from Democrats anywhere yet about what is going on in Cuba?
One notable reaction, which is coming from Florida, the Democratic Senate candidate Val Demings, who, remember, was talked about as a vice presidential prospect for Joe Biden, put out a very tough statement saying the White House needs to do something, to say something. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet. And keep in mind, you know, she was responding to Senator Marco Rubio, who was one of the first Republicans at the gate with a very tough response against what the Cuban government is doing and promoting the bravery of the protesters. But yeah, I mean, this is remember last election, Democrats lost a lot of ground in South Florida with Cuban American voters. Democrats know it's a political problem. The big question is, do they realize a foreign policy opportunity, a chance to speak with a moral clarity against the communist regime in Cuba?
Now, there are a lot of Democrats who will be conflicted. Jim McGovern, chairman of House Rules, is probably the senior Democrat who's on record as saying Biden needed to liberalize Cuba. He needs to go on the record. AOC and the whole squad needs to go on the record. But mostly the president, the vice president, Jake Sullivan, The National Security Advisor, Ron Klain, and the Secretary of State, Klain being the Chief of Staff, Secretary of State Blinken, they need to be on the record. Have you seen anything yet?
Jake Sullivan, I believe, did tweet something last night, but not a whole lot from the White House itself. In fact, the White House put out a statement about Haiti and the assassination, what's going on in Haiti. Haven't seen anything yet about Cuba. So clearly they're trying to get their ducks in a row. They've been pretty slow off the uptick, given how momentous it seems what's going on. I mean, a lot of the reporters on the ground have said they haven't seen anything like this, at the very least, since 1994, and maybe and even longer than that, to the degree and the scope of the protest.
Now,
there
are lots of journalists in Cuba because of the European ties, because of the exception for travel there. There are bureaus there. It is covered. People know about Cuba. Is American media stepping up, Josh Kroshauer?
Well, I can only tell you what I read and see. The story broke yesterday. I haven't seen it covered a whole lot on the cable news shows this morning. I was a little surprised, to be honest with you. This is the type of story that probably leads, especially on a slow summer day, like this seemingly would be a lead news story if this took place a few decades ago and wasn't even mentioned in the top block of a lot of the top newscasts. So I'm a little surprised by that. I assume that if these protests continue and if the regime, you know, uses violent means to try to quell the protesters, I think it'll get more and more attention.
Josh, I'm going to let you go early because I've got callers from all over the country wanting to call about this, and I'm going to give them 30 seconds each. Hotline Josh, go and follow him.